Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin DNR. Preventing food waste and composting scraps and uneaten veggies, grains, and fruit can help the environment. More dnr.wi.gov by searching food waste.
You know, it was a lot of fun reminiscing with Buckshot Anderson about Wisconsin and enjoying the year-round simple pleasures. Our state's really rich in natural areas and wildlife, and I think one of the most important types of environments that we have is our wetlands. Katie Belfus from the Wisconsin Wetlands Association is our guest now to talk with us about our wetlands. As a matter of fact, this is American Wetlands Month.
It is. May is American Wetlands Month. Thanks for having us on to talk about wetlands.
Great to have you here, and I certainly want to invite our listeners. If you have a question or comment, are you aware of the wetlands in your area? Do you know how to protect them? What's your favorite way to enjoy our beautiful wetlands that we have here in Wisconsin? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can go to my Facebook page and post there at The Larry Mueller Show, and we would love to have you. You know, how do you define a wetland, by the way?
That's a good question, because we get that a lot. And the three pieces that folks need to pay attention to are the soils. There's special soils for wetlands. Plants, there's special kinds of plants that are designed to grow in wetlands, and having water at or near the surface of the soil for all or just part of the year.
Part of the year, yeah.
And because there's many different types of wetlands, it becomes more difficult to define what a wetland is and isn't, because it is variable. And some wetlands will have water all year long, and some might only have it for a very short period of time, but that time can be really critical.
Yeah. Why are they so important?
Well, when you talk about natural benefits that any kind of natural system provides for us, whether it's clean air or clean water or flood protection, when you add up the list of natural benefits, wetlands often has the longest list of check marks of natural benefits that they provide, partly because they are in the middle between uplands and waterways. And so they occupy a really critical niche with regard to anything that's water related. Mm-hmm. And something like 75% of Wisconsin's wildlife and a vast percentage of the threatened and endangered wildlife require wetlands at some point during their life cycle. It might just be when they're babies. It might just be when they're doing their migration, but it fills a really critical niche in their life cycle.
How much of Wisconsin is wetland now? And I know that's changed significantly over the years.
Yeah, unfortunately, Wisconsin's lost about half of its wetland acreage. We used to have about 10 million acres across the state, and now we're down to just about 5. And we are working, there's a lot of groups working to try to reduce the loss and reverse the loss, in fact, and restore wetlands that were formerly converted for other purposes like agriculture, maybe not be producing the way they were originally or never been producing very well as agriculture. So they are getting restored back to wetlands because people are beginning to realize the importance of wetlands on the landscape.
Yeah, they are very important. And May, of course, American Wetlands Month. What's the background on that anyway?
Well, it's an EPA-sponsored initiative basically to try to raise the profile of wetlands during a particular month of year and provide an opportunity for groups across the nation to promote events that provide people with an opportunity to learn more about wetlands are, why they matter, and where they are on the landscape and visit them. And we do that actively here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Wetlands Association hosts our own field trip series, and we also promote wetland events that are hosted and sponsored by our partners across the state. So just for the month of May alone, we have 20 different events and field trips on our calendar of events on our webpage at wisconsinwetlands.org. And I know for a fact that that's just a small smattering of what's possible out there. It's just stuff that's come across my desk.
Give us a sample of the kinds of events. You know, what could we participate in?
Well, there's a field trip this weekend. There's two really great festivals happening this weekend. One in Door County, the Door County Festival of Nature, and the Shawamigan Bay Birding and Nature Festival. And those are two opportunities that host a huge number of field trips, many of them to wetland sites because of where those places are and the fabulous wetlands that are there, that give people, you know, guided tours by people who really know their stuff about what they're seeing, what they're hearing, what they're looking at, how it all works together. So there's field trips, there's talks and presentations, there's a workshop on writing about nature that's happening at the Now I'm going to have a name. I'll come up. It was the Woodland Dunes Nature Center. I knew it would come to me. The Woodland Dunes Nature Center has partnered with us to host this workshop at their facility over at by Two Rivers to have a day of talking about how do we write about wetlands and what are some of the techniques and ideas for that. And not just wetlands, but the natural world.
Wonderful. Dave in Milwaukee has a question or comment. Let's go there. Hi, Dave.
Hi, this is a great idea for a program. I wondered if your guest could relate the story of Horicon Marsh, the draining of it, its recovery.
Well, certainly Horicon Marsh is one of Wisconsin's wonderful wetlands. It is one of the wetland gems that the Wisconsin Wetlands Association has recognized in the state. It's also a wetland of international importance recognized by the Ramsar Convention on Wetlands. So it's one of a short list of 2,000 sites worldwide that are critical wetlands. It's got a long and rich history. Unfortunately, I'm not the best schooled in that. You need to get Bill Volkord on here because he's the man who really knows about that story. I was actually at Horicon Marsh just last week, so saw it and heard some wildlife. Saw a lot of birds, and it was beautiful. But unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to relay the whole history of the drainage. I know it's been a long and checkered past, but they're doing great work to try and bring it back.
They sure are. And there's, boy, there's hardly a better place to go. The hiking and the travel, the water, you can get on the water, you can canoe. I think there are even some tours. I know there are tours.
We are co-sponsoring a tour with the Madison Audubon Society that's a birding at Horicon Marsh tour on the 26th, I believe it is. Yeah, 26th, May 26th.
Oh, perfect. Dave, thank you for calling. Maybe Bill's listening. He can join in and give us a little history of the Horicon Marsh. Bob in Green Bay, let's go to you. Hi, Bob. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I was just wondering, I've been noticing an awful lot of pragmatites in our wetlands. And I was wondering how they affect our wildlife in the wetlands.
I think we lost.
Oh, dear. I think he might have, if I was trying to understand the word, I think he said phragmites.
I think he meant phragmites. What we're talking about is invasive.
Invasive plants. Well, yeah. Invasive plants and invasive species in general are a huge issue for not only wetlands, but lots of natural communities in Wisconsin and in the region. And phragmites is a growing problem. I mean, you can talk to folks who said even 10 years ago, you didn't really see it. And now you drive along Green Bay and it is everywhere. So it is a huge problem. I know the DNR has been actually involved in doing some eradication efforts, both on property that they own, but also partnering with private landowners to try to do some control efforts of that plant. Because those invasive species, what they do is often they're plants that are from a different place, Europe or Asia usually, and they get here and there's none of their natural competitors. There's none of the bugs that eat them. There's none of the plants that compete with them, and they have free reign. So they take off and shade out and out-compete our native plants and displace them. So you end up with a monoculture wetland rather than a diversity.
Thanks very much for calling, Bob. Appreciate that call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Don't be afraid to email us, too, at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we would love to hear from you. Before we go back to the phones, maybe you could talk a little bit about what you folks are, what the Wetlands Association is doing in terms of preserving wetlands or various projects that you have going right now?
Sure. Well, as a statewide organization, we're a pretty small group. We only have 6 people on our staff. And so our strategy for working across the entire state of Wisconsin is to find partners and help get them the information and training that they need so that then they can do the important work on the ground. We do not own or manage land ourselves, but mm-hmm. we work with a lot of agencies and private entities that do that. We have a very exciting growing program working with local governments, so the staffs and elected officials at the local government level, to help them understand what options are available to them for protecting wetlands in their community, whether it's through their ordinances or through their land use planning processes. So to try to help get them the tools and information that they need in order to make decisions at the local level. We also work with partners to get information to private landowners. 75% of Wisconsin's remaining wetlands are in private ownership, so they're not protected by the state or the federal government, but they're owned by individuals or land trusts. So working with the Gathering Waters Conservancy to try to help identify the needs that land trusts and the folks that they work with have for understanding how to find wetlands, how to assess them, how to protect them, how to manage them, so that that work can get done on the landscape.
Margo in Linksville, Wisconsin. Hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. The last two programs, I love public broadcasting.
Thank you.
But I live along the Mississippi, not right on. But my pasture where I used to have my horse is overgrown. I have a little pond and a couple little creeks. Who would I contact to see about making that a better area? I get turtles. I get deer, muskrats. Yeah, I really like to help promote it. I'm never going to have a horse again. And I live between two bluffs, so I get a lot of nature in here.
Mm-hmm. I get so much energy from hearing landowners like this that just want to do the right thing. They love what they're seeing. They love what they're being able to experience, and they want to do the right thing by their land. It really gives me a lot of energy in my work. So one resource that we have that might be of use to you, and again, without seeing the property, it's a little bit tricky, but we have a wetland restoration handbook for Wisconsin landowners that is in print form, and it also is available on our website, and the DNR has free copies available. If you call our office at 608-250-9971, we can arrange to have a copy sent out to you. It walks through the steps of how to take a look at your landscape, how to find maps of the soil types in your area, maybe historic maps so that you can see what the land use was historically before it was a horse pasture. And then it has a lot of references to offices with people who have the expertise who may be able to come and visit your property or may be able to suggest other avenues for information for you. So that'll be a starting point, and hopefully that'll connect you with some really great information.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much. And, oh, I want to talk to Buckshot.
Well, you're just going to have to show up
oh,
there at one of those flea markets. Thanks a lot for calling, Margo. Appreciate it very much. And that number, again, in case you missed it, somebody else listening in who might want it, 608-250-9971. And your website is
wisconsinwetlands.org.
Yeah.
We also have a Facebook page, so that's another way to connect with us.
Mm-hmm. And I think we linked to you on our Facebook page. Yeah, Judith's done that at the Larry Mueller Show, so you can go there and link right up. Katie Balfus, our guest today, Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. Our guest, she'll be with us right up until 12:30 here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our environment is so complex, and our wetlands are a crucial element of our ecosystems. How can we enjoy and preserve them at the same time? Hi, Larry Mueller here. So glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. We have a great organization in Wisconsin, like the and it's the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, and it's working to educate the public and to give us what we need to know to protect and appreciate our wetlands. And Katie Balfus, our guest today from the association, great to have her along. It's American Wetlands Month. There's field trips. There's a whole bunch of activities going on. We'll certainly talk with her about them, and she will be happy to answer your questions about wetlands. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Back after the news. This is American Wetlands Month, and we are talking about it today and the work of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association with Katie Balfus. Katie is the Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. Great to have her along. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for listening in. Certainly, if you have questions about wetlands, are you aware of the wetlands in your area? Do you know how to protect them? What's your you have issues associated with wetlands? We'd love to hear from you. The number 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we would love to hear from you. And Tom and Mequon is online. So let's just go to Tom and see what's on his mind. Hi, Tom. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. See, I just wanted to underline the importance us as waterfowl hunters have as far as the wetlands are concerned. I think a lot of times we might get a bad rep from certain environmental groups, and not only with the money we give for stamps and for products goes towards rehabilitation, but you know, we're the ones tossing the wood duck houses everywhere you can put one and all of that. So I think it's real important to underline that. And, of course, waterfowl hunting is my favorite use of a marsh on a cool fall morning.
Yeah. Good points. Comments, Katie?
I couldn't agree with you more, Tom. And Wisconsin Wetlands Association is really delighted that we are close partners with several of the waterfowl organizations in the state, including our namesake, WWA, the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, and Ducks Unlimited. We do a lot of work with them in the policy arena, in the outreach arena, in all kinds of arenas. It's a community of people we'd like to be working more with. And you're exactly right. You guys are doing a lot for raising money for wetland conservation and restoration and for raising the profile of wetlands. So thanks for your voice in that fight.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. And actually, hunters, I mean, Ducks Unlimited, for example, has purchased a lot of land in not only in this country, but in
and they spend a lot of money, of their own money, doing contributing to really important restoration projects, including Horicon Marsh. We were talking about that earlier, and they're collaborating with Horicon on restoration in that watershed.
Good points. Thanks again, Tom, for calling. Tim in Kenosha, turning to you next. Hi, Tim.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
If wetlands are as important as you say, why is it that I can fill in a wetlands in a given area and somehow trade it for a development of a wetlands sometimes clear across the state? How is that reasonable?
Well, Tom, it might not be reasonable. I might be on your side on that one. It depends on the project. And I think what we're talking about here is recent legislation that passed in the Wisconsin legislature that changes wetland protection laws in Wisconsin. Increases the profile of an approach called mitigation, which is where if you do need to fill a wetland in a particular location because of an expansion project or a development project that can't be located elsewhere, you have the authority, the responsibility to mitigate that fill in another location. Because sometimes where the fill is happening, there aren't opportunities for wetland mitigation, because if it's in a heavily developed area, you just might not have a place. Sometimes that mitigation needs to go somewhere else. We fought very hard in the legislative session to try to have more restrictions on how far away from a proposed fill site a mitigation site could be, because you can imagine if you have a current wetland that's providing certain flood control or water cleansing functions and you remove that and you build a wetland somewhere entirely different, the community where the fill happened has lost those services and functions. And maybe community B now has more of those, but community A still is missing those because of that mm-hmm. fill. So the challenge is sometimes there's not a spot where mitigation can happen that's in the same watershed. And sometimes there's not anybody who wants to do it there. So it's a tricky thing. We fought long and hard to keep the geographic proximity as a very important piece. We didn't win that fight. We're going to continue to work with the DNR and legislators to make sure that that's the intent of the law as much as can be done. But your point is very well taken.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. I appreciate your call. And then, the whole, I know we've talked about this in the past on the show, the whole idea of creating a wetland. Can we really create a wetland?
It's a very new science, and it's something that a lot of people are working very hard to try to improve, because we do need to replace many of the wetlands that we have lost, and restoration is our best tool to do that. Creation is another tool, but we don't know how to create all wetlands, because many of them are very finely tuned systems that require very specific geography, very specific water chemistry, and soil types, and things that we can't recreate, that Mother Nature created. So we can make marshes. Generally speaking, we can make a pretty good marsh, and there's some sedge meadows and various other communities that we might be able to do. But I'd like to know about really great coniferous bogs that humans have constructed. I don't know of any.
No.
I'd like to hear about them if they're out there. But there are some communities that are just more challenging and take longer to develop, and we don't know how to do that yet. So that's a challenge. If you're going to fill in a wetland type that's hard to recreate, are you going to then mitigate it with a different kind of wetland? Then we've lost maybe a coniferous bog in favor of a marsh. We might need coniferous bogs more than marshes. And so it's a very big challenge.
Terry in Green Bay, turning to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi there. Yeah, my question would be, I've got a guy here that lives about a half a mile from where my land is located. Last November, and this is definitely wetlands, you can pull off the website the aerial photo, you can see that that parcel of that piece of property where he's working. And he went last November, and he, in that wetland area, it's a swale. At one time, it was a stream, I'm sure, before the land through the farming practices, silted it in. But anyhow, it's wetlands, and he went and removed all of the plants, all of the, brush, any of the low-growing vegetation. He took and he had a bulldozer come in there, push it in a big pile, tear everything all up, and, that's wetlands. Can they do that?
Unfortunately, the way the laws are written, and I should include a disclaimer that this is not my specialty within our office. And so if you want more specific information, I'd ask you to call our office and talk to somebody in our policy department to help you with that. But I'll give you my best guess answer right here from what I know, which is fill is what is regulated, and to some degree, excavation. And so vegetation removal is not something that's typically regulatable by the DNR. It doesn't mean it's the right thing to do, but it might mean that it's not an illegal thing if he's just removing the vegetation from the property and not filling the property with gravel or sand or dirt.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. You have a great photo project coming up. We haven't talked about it yet, and I thought we probably should get into that. Tell us about it.
Thanks for bringing that up. We have a challenge for your listeners and all of our members and supporters. We have 100 wetland gems that we designated in 2009, sites all across the state, beautiful places, all wetlands. And we would like to have a photo of a person in every single one of those wetland gems. Hmm. And are challenging are your listeners to, while they're on their vacations this summer, get a copy of the Wetland Gems Guidebook, which we have for sale through our offices, and they're for sale at a couple of other locations as well. Take it as a guide when you're going on your vacations this summer, and if you happen to be near one, go visit it and snap a picture and send it to us. We love to see people in wetlands. We have a lot of beautiful wetland photos, but it's harder to get photos of people enjoying wetlands, and so that's our challenge this summer, is to try to document every single wetland gem getting a visitor this summer in Wisconsin.
And so what are you going to do with the photos then?
Well, we're asking folks to post them to our Facebook page. And I was the first one. My little son, Theo, is on our webpage visiting Pheasant Branch last weekend. he was our first victim, shall we say, of the challenge. And we'll post them to our Facebook page. If you don't Facebook, that's fine. If you email, send us an email with the picture, or you could even send us a CD, I suppose. There's all kinds of technologies now for getting photos around to people, but we will use them in our own materials. We're not quite sure what we're going to do with them yet, because you never know till you see them what they might be good for. But I just think it's going to be a fun challenge for the summer, because it's my goal to visit as many of these as I can get to. I certainly haven't been to all 100, and I'd like to. So
yeah, should be a lot of fun. Let's go to Dee Dee in Buffalo County. Hi, Dee Dee.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm calling regarding what we think is going to be very damaging to our wetlands. The wetlands in question in Buffalo County is across from the Cochran City High School on Route 35. And there is a motion in our county to build a sand fracking plant right across the street from the school on the edge of our wetlands. And that's what we're concerned about.
Well, I can certainly understand your concern. There's a lot of concern because that industry is moving very quickly. And I'm not to say it's a bad industry, but we need to make sure we're all taking the precautions so that we understand what we're getting into and what the impacts are on our communities. So thank you for paying attention. That's wonderful. I would encourage you to call our office and talk with somebody there. And again, our number is 608-250-9971.
May I repeat that? 608-250-9971.
That's right.
That's correct.
And some folks in our office will be better equipped than I to provide you with some information and resources about who you should be contacting, what the best line of inquiry is within your community to make sure that the right people in your community are aware of what the situation and are addressing it, and the points at which you and your neighbors can chime in with your opinions.
Yeah. Good points.
And that ties into the last call that we had as well. As this new law comes into being in Wisconsin, it was passed in February, but it won't actually take effect until July 1st. As that comes to be, because it's new we are not sure how it's going to play out on the landscape yet. And it's going to be very important for citizens across our state to keep an eye on what's going on in their community, ask questions when you see things happening, and make sure people are aware of what's going on so that we can make sure the law is being implemented as it was intended. And if you have questions or concerns about something happening in your community, you can call our office. We can't get involved in local battles because we're statewide, but we can certainly help you with the tools and techniques that you can then implement and connect you with local people who can help you with your concerns.
All right. Thank you again, Dee Dee, for calling. Appreciate it. Richard in Oconomowoc, on to you now. Hi, Richard.
Hi, I'm calling about the ecology of erosion and what happens in the life cycle of a lake, and I really appreciate what the lady was saying before about really protecting the life cycle of all the little critters that are involved in the eco cycle.
Yeah.
That's a great question. And, you know, runoff is a complicated subject because you're talking about water coming in and the water might have chemicals or pollutants in it. It also might have sediment in it. And those are all things that might not be things that the critters in wetlands can deal with. If you think a lot of these things are very small, they have very slim little cell walls that can't defend themselves as easily against some of these pollutants and chemicals, or it literally, you know, closes off their ability to absorb oxygen or do whatever their body processes are. And so they can have a very dramatic impact on what critters and plants can survive in an area that's getting a lot of inflow. And the sediment also can really have a big impact on the plant life that grows there and what can survive that and not. So it's an important issue. Wetlands can really help with those situations by filtering out pollutants and sediments, but they can't be a dumping ground for those things. And it's a careful line to play there of when how to take advantage of the services that they provide without taking advantage of wetlands.
From my personal experience, I've seen tadpoles, you know, little frogs, little critters. They're getting mutated and whatnot because of what people are doing, building all these homes. Everybody wants to be on a lake and oil and water and everything. And it's like, how are you going to regulate everybody?
You know, there's a good deal of personal responsibility that needs to come to play. And our hope is that through our work, educating people to the importance of wetlands and the critters and plants that need them, they'll connect in an emotional way with those. They'll recognize that they have strong memories of playing and chasing frogs as children that they want their children and grandchildren to grow up with. And so they want to work to protect those resources so that their kids and grandkids can enjoy those same things.
Thank you, Richard, very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And we have an email from Pat in Neenah, who says many public hunting areas include wetlands, and a lot of these are open to canoes and kayaks. Rat River in Clayton, west of Neenah, is a good one.
That's exactly right. There's a ton of ways and opportunities for getting out to explore wetlands. Our Wetland Gems program is one way to find out about sites near you, and we do provide information about how to find out how to best access those wetlands for enjoyment. But the state wildlife areas, state natural areas, a lot of those are wetlands and are fabulous opportunities for getting out and enjoying a boat trip or a kayak or a muck in the wetlands.
And I see Judith just posted on our Facebook page. As a matter of fact, go there, take a look at go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and see the photos that she posted from her trip last September in Horican Marsh. They're beautiful shots, aren't they?
Gorgeous.
Yeah, they're gorgeous shots. You can join in too, by the way, or post your own photo or question at my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Or you can call us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Caller would like you to talk about how wetlands serve as a filter for the water table.
Well, sure. I'll do my best on that. And wetlands are both important for recharging groundwater and for places where groundwater comes to the surface. It's a two-way mm-hmm. street, not always within the same wetland. Sometimes there's one infiltration at one and not outflow, but some can do both. And a lot of it has to do with the plants that are in those systems and their ability to uptake minerals, nutrients, sediments, and other things and trap those so that they're not in the water column anymore, but they're actually in the plant. So they're removed then from the water that goes down into the groundwater. So plants are a really important function there. And some of those things get trapped in the sediment and in the root systems as well. Some of them are not uptaken, but some of them are.
So they perform a very valuable...
super important water quality function service, yeah.
What... excuse me. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. I want to talk about some more of the field trips that you guys are doing because
sure.
I think that is a lot of fun.
Well, that's, you know, our mission is the protection, restoration, and enjoyment of wetlands. And this is really where the enjoyment piece comes in, because when people get out and see wetlands and see the exciting things that are happening, the wonderful, beautiful critters and plants and animals that are living there, it really helps to build that person's interest in making sure these resources are protected. So we have 20 field trips ourselves that we coordinate and host with our partners. And then, like I said, we also promote other trips around the state. Some other trips that are coming up that I'm excited about, up in Ashland County, we've partnered with our friends at the Northern Great Lake Visitors Center to do a kayak trip of some of the water resources and wetlands that are just outside the door of that beautiful facility. So if you're going to be up in the Northlands for your vacation this summer, take advantage of that. That is August 4th, which is a Saturday. Day to take, and it's kid-friendly, family-friendly trip, so everyone
Perfect.
Come on out. And we have a wonderful trip that we host every fall within the lower Chippewa River Delta on the Tiffany wildlife area. There's a train that runs into the wildlife area on these old tracks that are maintained by a cadre of volunteers.
Wow.
And it's an open-air train. I went last year with my family, and it was a fabulous trip. And actually, Wisconsin Public Television did a great story on that in Wisconsin, and so that's something to look out for on your public television station. But it's a wonderful full-day adventure out into the wetlands. We have local guides who are there to talk about the resources that you're seeing and the management that's happening there and the restoration opportunities that are occurring there. And it's just a really fun day. It was cold the day that I went there. We had our rain jackets on, but it was really fun. My kids loved it.
And again, where?
That's in the Tiffany Wildlife Area, which is up in Pepin and Buffalo counties, so sort of up near Eau Claire. And the trip this year is September 9th, which is a Sunday. And that trip
Sounds
fills
like
up every single year. We offer it every fall, and it's always sold out the last couple several years. So if you're interested in that, call soon and save your spot.
All right. Peter in Hazelhurst, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Great. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I inherited a piece of property in Bayfield County, and I have no use for it. It's hunting land. And yet, when I talk to the real estate agents up there, they say that because it's, some of it has been dubbed wetland, the property value is cut in half. So I'm trying to figure out what the wonderfulness of wetlands are when I pit it against my problem.
Well, your property taxes are going to be lower if your land value is lower. It means that the wetlands on the property are not developable or have limited developability. And the DNR put together some very good tools a few years ago that you can find on their website if you type in wetland toolkit. And or you can call our office and we can give you the specific web link on their site. But some very good materials to help you understand if you are a wetland landowner, where the wetlands are on your property and what you can or can't do with them if you have them. And we're working to identify some more opportunities for what the opportunities are. If you can't develop those wetland areas, here's some other things that you can do with them. We're also working hard to try and provide incentives for landowners to maintain and restore wetlands on their property to make sure that their taxes, if they're not able to develop that land, their taxes should be lower on those wetland parcels.
Sure.
And there's some cases where that may or may not happen, and we're working hard to try and correct that so that folks who have a property that they want to restore, their taxes don't increase by taking it out of production. So that's a little bit of a different topic, but wanted to get that out there.
Yeah.
So enjoy your lower tax bill if your land is not all of that land is developable, and get out there and learn how to hunt and enjoy it.
Yeah. Thank you for calling. Ben in Waukesha, hello.
Hi. Could you please discuss the creation of artificial wetlands, specifically as it pertains to businesses that have wastewater treatment facilities, and what kind of policies, if any, are going on right now, specifically in the state of Wisconsin?
Okay, we've got about a minute and a half to do that.
Oh, that's a tough one, Larry. Well, first call our office and we can help you out with some more information for the long answer to that question. The short answer is because wetlands are getting recognized for their ability to filter water, they are being implemented in some cases instead of something like a retention pond to try to trap some of those pollutants and sediments before they go in, and designing them with specific plants with the goal of uptaking those that pollutants out of there. So it's a different thing than what I was talking about before with regard to mitigation. Interesting idea. I think it has a place on the landscape. It doesn't replace natural wetlands, in my opinion. It's a good thing in certain circumstances. It's different from wetland restoration.
And with that, we're out of time. Katie, thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure.
And lots going on. And so, again, your number is 608-250-9971.
Mm-hmm. And wisconsinwetlands.org is our website, or check our Facebook page out. We're trying to reach 500 likes by the end of American Wetlands Month. So go if you like the show, go give us a like on Facebook.
That sounds great. Katie Belfast, Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. Great organization. And we're pleased to and happy to have her on to talk with us about our wetlands here in the state. So there you have it. We're going to be doing another show, of course, tomorrow. And switching gears, as we often do, tomorrow at 11, Dr. Carrie Donahue of Full Circle In-Home Pet Hospice will be here to talk about end-of-life issues for our pets. And I believe Dr. Donahue shows that will actually come to your home and perform that service for you, and that's a great service. And that's at 11:45. Dr. Kurt Sladke of the UW School of Veterinary Medicine has some advice on caring for exotic pets, from birds to reptiles to small mammals to invertebrates. All that tomorrow. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.